Be at peace with one another. Amen. As a child, my favorite book was the biography of Abraham Lincoln. I remember it now, the cover of the book, the simple illustrations meant for young readers, the weight of the book in my hands, and the end. A story of a single man who, in my eyes then, becomes the liberator of thousands and hundreds of people of a whole country. As a child who suffered with dyslexia, a book that I learned to read well, that I had decoded, that became familiar to me, was like a good friend who was always there for me. The friend that you could call on and always got you, who knew your heart without a lot of explanation. I would read this book over and over because it inspired me, because it got me, because I understood it, because I was in relationship with it and its subject, even beyond time and space. The book, the biography of Abraham Lincoln, was my bedside book for many, many years. That is, until the day I went to my priest at age 12, and I met with him in his smoke-filled office, sitting in a leather chair, surrounded by walnut wood walls and icons of the saints. And I told him, I want to understand God. I want to know God. Without hesitation, this priest went to his bookshelf and took down a rather large book and handed it to me, Seven Story Mountain by Thomas Merton. He handed me the book and said, come back to me and talk with me after you've read this. Abraham Lincoln was then replaced by Thomas Merton. And just like that, I entered the next stage of my development of seeking and spiritual discernment, of relationship with my church and with my God. Now, for those of you who have read this book by Thomas Merton, it is not light reading. To hand this book over to a 12-year-old child is like serving steak to a baby. It doesn't make sense. And yet, this priest saw me. Beyond my dyslexia, beyond my age or my gender, he saw a seeker and heard my question for what it really was, true yearning. Jesus says, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. This priest chose to encounter me as I presented myself and to offer me that which would encourage me, that which would inspire my walking a spiritual journey. And this was a huge shift from the way the world around me treated me then. As a child with dyslexia, I had been placed in remedial classes. I was separated from my friends who were all in advanced classes. I would know nothing of great literature if it weren't for my conversations with my friends at night on the phone when they told me all about Steinbeck and Fitzgerald and the like, and if it weren't for this priest who chose, rather than putting stumbling blocks in my path, to refine me with words of nourishment and inspiration, who chose to see me. I am grateful to him even to this day because he could have made a different choice. He could have seen me as a child unable to understand such deep convictions and sentiments as Merton describes in his book. He could have seen me as unable to encounter Merton's yearning for solitude and his seeking of God, faith, and freedom in the walls of that monastery. In our gospel today, Jesus talks to his disciples about encounter. The story begins with John telling Jesus in an almost proud way that he had sent away a man that was doing great deeds of power in Jesus' name because, John says, he was not following us. Jesus is less than pleased about this, and that probably surprised John. He says to John, "Do not send him away. No one does deeds of power in my name and then speaks evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea." Stumbling blocks. Have any of you ever made someone stumble? I certainly have. When I lived in New York City, I made a lot of people stumble. Rushing down the busy streets, I must have bumped into 100 people while looking down at my feet, trying to keep up with the fast pace of city life. Attempting to get on the packed Q train in Brooklyn, I must have caused dozens of people to stumble as I pushed my way aboard, trying to get to Park Avenue for my afternoon job at the National Conference for Community and Justice. The irony. How is it that I caused those strangers in my midst, in my way between me and productivity, to stumble? Well, simple. I simply was not paying attention to them. My mind was often on the next presentation I needed to make, or time, because I was often late. My mind was on the future, my future, not on the people around me in the present moment. We cause people to stumble when we are not paying attention. We cause people to stumble when we refuse to pay attention to people as we encounter them. Jesus, being so concerned with John's unwillingness to encounter this man doing great deeds of power, goes into a rather dramatic explanation of what we should do if we cause people to stumble. Jesus often gets dramatic when he is explaining things to his disciples. This drama is a rhetorical device that encourages attention. He knows it will take a lot to get John's attention. So Jesus says, if your hand or your eye or your foot causes you to stumble or make others stumble, cut it off. Because Jesus says, it is better to be without those parts of our body than to be in hell. It is better, Jesus says, to remove what causes us to stumble or to make others stumble, that which distracts us from paying attention, than it would be to spend eternity in hell. And for Jesus and for us, what is hell? Simply put, hell is a state of separation from God, from self, and from our neighbor and the saints in heaven. Hell is that which separates us from love, from God, and from each other. It is not a physical place, but a spiritual place of eternal separation. And hell exists here and now in the present moment, as well as in the future, and it is a choice. Hell is a choice that we make by the way we live and by what we choose to pay attention to. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. When we are paying attention to the path we are walking, when we pay attention to those around us, then we will not cause them to stumble. Or stumble ourselves because we see, because we encounter, because we see the path we walk together clearly. Now, the public school system put many stumbling blocks before me as a child. They labeled me deficient. They separated me from my friends. They withheld things from me that would inspire and encourage me because they did not encounter me as a child who was capable and willing to learn and grow. But by the grace of God, I had another path. And as I walked that path, my priests and my friends encountered me differently, and paying attention to my true self encouraged me to walk my path well. When we cause others to stumble, what happens to them as they stumble? They get left behind as we move forward. And yet Jesus says it would be better to be without parts of our own body than it would be to be separated from God and from each other. Truly paying attention and encountering others can feel like a burden. Slowing down in this busy world, setting aside our agendas or our egos in order to see the other can be difficult to do. The Latin root of the word attention is ad tendere, which means to stretch toward, to stretch outward. How do we learn to stretch outward, paying attention to those that we encounter? How do we learn to see people for who God made them to be, even when that seeing is a stretch for us? In this life, we will stumble, and we will cause others to stumble. But as Diane reminded us this week in Women Walking the Way, stumbling is something we can recover from. Stumbling is a temporary situation. We can get back up from stumbling, and we can assist others to get back up when they stumble too. The way of Jesus is a collective way. A path we are meant to walk together. Jesus ends this gospel today by saying, "Be at peace with each other." This being at peace with each other is where we are called to place our attention. Our attention, Jesus says, should be on our oneness. This being at peace together begins by encountering all we meet, truly seeing them for who God made them to be, and seeing their deeds of power. By seeing people as capable and willing to grow and necessary in the work of building the kingdom of God. So I am left asking myself, what in my life do I need to cut off that is causing me or others to stumble? Perhaps my bias about people, perhaps my agenda, or my busyness, or my trauma that divides me from others. Whatever it is that distracts me from paying attention, from stretching toward my brothers and sisters, this becomes my work, our collective work, to cut that off, to allow ourselves to be pruned by God so that we can live with each other in peace. This collective work takes humility and is vulnerable. Because as we pay attention to others, we must allow others to pay attention to us, to see us as who God made us to be. To live with each other in peace, we must walk and stumble together. We must trust whoever is not against us is for us. And in this walking with attention, for us as a church, outreach and pastoral care become one. It is through paying attention to those we walk with and through stretching ourselves outward that we cease our collective stumbling and we walk well together. So friends, what is God calling you to pay attention to these days? Who are you being called to see or encounter more fully? And what stumbling blocks are you being called to remove so that your path is made clear, so that you can truly pay attention? I still keep a copy of Seven Story Mountain close by, not because I read it as often, but because it reminds me that there are people in this world that see my capacity, that see me, that want me to have a clear path to walk in this world, and that want to walk it with me. And it reminds me to always try my best to do the same for others. It reminds me that we are called to see the people we walk with on this journey, to truly encounter them, and to remove the stumbling block society often places in our way. It reminds me that our attention should be set on being at peace with each other. Amen.